This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared create collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face. So today's podcast is really relevant. In the next couple of days, a film called Black Man Loving is going to be appearing, premiering actually, at the Regent Park Film Festival in Toronto. Check them out online. Ella Cooper is the interviewee today. Is that even a word? I'm not sure, but she's terrific. She wears so many hats. She's a multidisciplinary artist, and she talks a little bit about that. She talks about the film and racism. I think you're going to enjoy this interview. She's terrific. Catch the film. Check them out online, and don't forget about Real Change, my book that's flying off the shelves, folks. Get your copy while they last, and we'll be talking to you real soon. Hope you enjoy today's interview. Well, welcome to Face to Face. It's a beautiful, sunny, cold day here in Toronto, and we've got a really special guest with us today, Ella Cooper. She's a multidisciplinary artist. She's a facilitator. She's a filmmaker. She's into education. She consults. She does a little bit of everything, frankly, and we're going to talk to her today about her new film that's premiering in a couple of days called Black Man Loving on November 20th at the Regent Park Film Festival. Ella, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
So what, pray tell, is a multidisciplinary artist?
That is a very good question. So basically, I call myself a multidisciplinary artist because I use many different art forms to engage communities and even to create a final product. So you'll see in the film Black Man Loving that there are these beautiful interviews with fathers, black fathers, sharing their stories of black fatherhood and what that means to them. And the way that they've come to sharing this process is through photography, through poetry writing, different workshops that I led with them. So as a multidisciplinary artist, while the final piece might look like a film or a piece of photography, the process itself that I use engages a lot of different art forms and facilitation techniques.
And would you say that, so I mean, you know, I read your bio here, you're a filmmaker, you're an educator, and so on, but what's really at the core of what you do? I mean, it sounded to me like you're, you know, at the risk of sounding a little corny, you're building community.
Yeah, I mean, at the core of what I do, I've been really interested in amplifying those voices of individuals who might be deemed marginal or are marginalized or who are marginalized by the media. So we have specific representations that we'll see people who are racialized, people of diverse communities, as they're depicted in the media, or there's just a lack of representation and diverse representation. So I've gotten really excited over time to lead programs that facilitate people getting their hands on the camera, their hands on different arts, tools to really define who they are and how they want to be seen and celebrated in the world.
So how did you get excited about this particular project? And I guess the other question is this your first film?
So it isn't my first film, but in some ways I feel like it's my debut. And the reason for that is I have been working in partnership with the Regent Park Film Festival over the last 3 years in a number of different capacities. In my first year, I was a guest artist teacher in the schools working with youth to take them through digital storytelling workshops. In the second year, I was working with Illuminato Film Festival to make a longer documentary film where I was training up a youth film crew while also directing them in the creation of a film that was aired at the festival. And then in this final year, it's been a real honor to have been approached by Regent Park Film Festival and the Black Daddies Club to create Black Men Loving, which is really about dispelling the stereotypes of how black men are depicted in the media as well as the stories of black fatherhood.
What's the, tell us a little bit more about the Black Daddies Club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Black Daddies Club was founded by Brandon Hay, and when he had his first son in his 20s, he realized that there was just very few support networks available to him, simply as a father and let alone as a black male. And so he took it upon himself to create what is now known as the Black Daddies Club. And it's just become incredibly popular within his community to create a support network for black fathers.
So here's a question. Do you think this is something that everybody should be doing? I mean, is this just about black fathers, or is this about fathers, do you think?
Well,
I mean, clearly your film is about
black
fathers, but
yeah.
I'm wondering if there's a more systemic issue going on here. This isn't just about black men. This is about men across the board.
Well, what's interesting is, in many ways, it is about black men because of often the face of fatherlessness or deadbeat dad is often depicted as a black male.
Right.
And that really creates a lot of stigma, and often people find that they don't have, you know, the right support networks to really move forward in their own fathering. That said, there's obviously things that, you know, anyone can gain from this. I mean, it's a really heartwarming film around fatherhood, so listening to their stories, any dad can relate. And yet, when Brandon Hay talked about his decision around should it be the Daddy's Club or should it be Black Daddy's Club, what he realized is that there is an experience as a black male that is unique to other groups, and that to have a space where he could be safe to really talk about some of the issues that he faces in his day-to-day was something that would really help him move forward as a dad.
I guess I wonder, you know, from my background's in philosophy, so forgive some of the questions maybe, but I wonder to what degree, and I get that the pendulum is way out of whack when it comes to these kinds of issues with respect to, you know, sexism and racism and so on in our culture, but at what point does the Black Daddies Club say, you know what, we need another voice in here as well to say, hey guys, it's kind of like what your film is trying to do. Obviously, it's trying to, you know, disassemble those stereotypes. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how do you not play into it and say, you know, if, for instance, there's a campaign, the White Ribbon Campaign, which is all about violence against women, but it's run entirely by men.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, geez, maybe they should have a female voice in there from time to time.
Well, what's interesting is the Black Daddies Club has actually welcomed women in at different times. They invite different speakers to come in to address some of the key issues that might be coming up in their community, which could be anything from homophobia to depression to, you know, a whole range of things that many people experience. And what I tried to do was that, yes, you have to be really careful as a filmmaker not to perpetuate stereotypes, even as you attempt to perpetuate or a new representation, you have to be careful how you're doing that. You know, like just creating all these glorified images of people isn't the answer. And so in this film, there are unique profiles with about, I guess, five or six dads who are really, really different from each other,
right.
Really different experiences, because I find that there is a very essentialized view that can be put on the black experience. And to add that there isn't a lot of focus on the black Canadian experience.
Right.
So what I found is just with all these different profiles and interviews, it gives a different, offers like a different lens to what that experience looks like today, and that there isn't one perspective.
Right.
I find that it's much easier to stereotype when you have a tokenistic individual representing a whole entire group.
What did you take away? I mean, I'm sure you took away lots, but what did you take away that you didn't expect? What was an unexpected outcome for you? You started the interviews, you had an idea of where this might head, and you know, that shock of recognition that surprised the heck out of you.
It's called Black Men Loving, and there was just so much love and openness in the creation of this project. Like, the men who self-selected to be part of this were so generous with their time and their stories and really shared personal stories, which people will see in the film. And I felt like, you know, I don't have kids yet, but I hope to one day, and listening to their stories gave me insights on what it's like to be a parent. And I was just, I was really taken by their conviction to really be present in their children's lives, some of whom didn't have their father's presence in their lives, you know, and from that experience were like, I'm going to change this. So what I really saw was that these men are being the change they want to see in the world. And I know that sounds cheesy, but it's totally legit.
It does. You know what? It's the world I travel in. And frankly, I think we forget it. I mean, I really do. I think even the most idealistic nutcases of our sort of circle that you and I probably travel in from day to day, we forget it. We forget that we do have this opportunity and I think responsibility and almost obligation to try to change the world. And it's easy to get, you know, discouraged. You know, I tell all my students at Humber, 7 out of 10 days, I'm ready to turn it upside down. And then 3 out of 10, forget it. I'm going to jump off the old Islington Bridge, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's great that, you know, I am a dad. I got a 7 and a 9-year-old, and, you know, it's marvelous. It's wonderful. And I just think there's something really kind of leveling about becoming a parent. And I've traveled a fair bit around the world, and I just interviewed, and there are commonalities without a doubt, you know, parents and kids and so on in the relationship. And I interviewed Nigel Fisher recently. He UN, UNICEF, all over the world. He's been in some pretty crazy situations. And he said, you know, two of the things that I've taken away, one is most people want a good job. And the second thing is every parent wants a good education for their children. And you know what I mean? Like, there's just these things that, you know, that really does connect us, you know, and here we go again. We're sounding corny again here. You
know? And what I would add is that education is a really interesting piece. You know, it's like, education is so many things now. It's the institution you go into, but it's also the community you're surrounded by and who you learn from, you know, who represents you in your community, where are your mentors, where is your, you know, inspiration.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's so funny you bring that. I made a crack about I'm an electrician by trade. I haven't been on the tools in years, but I apprenticed for 5 years. And I used the word apprentice this morning with my daughter, and she's going to be 7 in 2 weeks. Dad, what's an apprentice? And so we got into this whole conversation about, I guess, informal education in a way, you know. And you're so right. This whole idea of mentorship. I mean, you know, it's so fundamentally important, that elbow knowledge, that side by side stuff that we all kind of partake in one way or another.
Yep, absolutely. And that's actually why, you know, Brandon Hay created the Black Daddies Club. It was this opportunity for people to actually share, you know, the how-to tools around how to be a good dad. And I also interviewed KF Tafari from Young Potential Fathers, and they're doing some really interesting work, not only supporting kind of young potential dads, but also they're starting to do more research-based work around, you know, the who's who within this community and the needs of this community. And so, yeah, it's a really interesting time, and it was so exciting to be, you know, invited to lead this project.
Yeah, it's very cool. Hey, Ella, what do you say to somebody, you know, that classic, it's almost become a cliche of a stereotype, which is hysterical, but the notion that, oh, well, you know, there is some truth in stereotypes. Right? That's why they're stereotypes. How do you answer that now after having made this film?
Yeah, I mean, I do workshops on like anti-O and anti-racist based thoughts.
Yeah,
And the reality is that when you take a stereotype, it kind of cuts you down at the knees, right? So it can actually lead to internalized racism. So sometimes people will believe all one type of person is really good at math. Therefore, if I'm not good at math, then maybe I'm not enough of that
thing. Yep.
And so, I don't believe in the truth of stereotypes, but I believe in the power of how people take on stereotypes, you know, as a form of truth.
Interesting. You mean the individual itself that's actually being potentially racially profiled in a way. You're not even talking about the higher level kind of ideological implications. You're talking about the individual themselves.
Yeah, because I think that how we internalize stereotypes has a really negative impact
on how we
navigate our own experience.
Right. So in other words, I must be this way because there's truth in stereotypes.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's almost deterministic, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it would make a film like Black Men Loving shocking. And the only reason it's shocking is because of one story that is constantly viewed in the media that surrounds the stories of black men.
Interesting. Yeah, no, it's great. It sounds like an amazing project. So does your closet have a lot of hooks for all the different hats you wear?
You know what? I realized, I was thinking about this the other day, that it's thematic. So it is about building community. Mm. It is about, I'm really get like media arts focused. And it's really about like tapping into my own personal creativity and celebrating, like as a woman who is like a racialized female director as well, really, you know, what would you say? Like just creating spaces where I can blossom in my own practice as well as facilitate that in others. So
I love the whole notion, and it's deeply philosophical as well, but also really practical. But this idea of creating space, you know, creating mm-hmm. space for others. I mean, the work that I do, I think, and the work that in the field that I teach in social change and international development, it's about, I hope, you know, creating space for the other, whoever that might be. And I mean that in the most sensitive way possible. You know, I don't mean it in a divisive way. And so I'm really attracted to the notion of you being a community organizer, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I were to give an exact example, as, you know, in my role as a manager of the Neighborhood Arts Network, I just helped to co-lead a community arts jam that was looking at equity in community engaged
art. What did you call it? An arts jam?
Community arts jam, yeah, in Toronto Island.
Interesting.
And so we were looking at race and equity in the arts. From there, you know, I love to lead youth film programs, and I'm a filmmaker that's really dedicated to celebrating culturally diverse voices, as well as making dance films around the city. And then simultaneously, I work on projects that are really looking at celebrating the black female body and the black Canadian experience. And so, and then I run off and do consulting work sometimes as well. And it's all about outreach. Yeah, no, they all pay the bills in different ways. Yeah.
So you know what? You've got to add to your bio social entrepreneur then.
Yeah, I guess I would be that. It depends on what title you want to take on,
sure.
And I'm still figuring that out.
Right.
How do you encapsulate all of that?
Don't let anybody box you in. I don't think that's, I don't know you at all, but it doesn't sound like that would work for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's a nice, it's good to be fluid.
We should probably wrap it up here in a second or two, but tell me what's another issue that's on your heart that's kind of passionately burning, you know, in your belly, if you will, that you want to make another film about?
Well, I've actually been doing a photo project, a national photo project called Bodyland Identity, and it's really been looking at representations of the black female body and the black female Canadian experience in the Canadian landscape. So I was just asked by NYU to speak on a panel at their conference in Florence in May, which will be during the Venice Biennale, and I worked with different groups of women across Canada to create these portraits and images, both that I created as well, that they created, sorry, I'm not making sense, but images that I created as well as their own images around the question, how do you want to be seen and celebrated in the world? And looking at that sense of blacklessness in the Canadian landscape. So while I'm not sure I would make a documentary film on it, or maybe it would have to be around my own personal experience doing this film, it's been a really wonderful journey of investigating the Canadian landscape and who is depicted and who is present in these spaces. And I'm really excited to be able to talk about it and to exhibit the work in the future as well.
I sure hope you're having a Q&A on Thursday night at the film. It sounds like you'll have a grand old time.
Well, speaking of which, there's also a matinee screening on Saturday at 2:45 as part of the Hope Heights screening, and there will be a panel that day.
Excellent. So we're talking about the release, Regent Park Film Festival, for those listeners who want to check it out. It's premiering Thursday night, the 20th of November. Check out, can they go to the Regent Park Film Festival website? Is that the best place?
Yeah, definitely go to the website, check it out. All the tickets are free. And however, it's really best to reserve in advance. You don't want to be disappointed. It opens on the 19th and runs till the 22nd. And Black Men Loving, the premiere, is on Thursday at 9 p.m.
Ella Cooper says here on her website, or a website that I found about her, quote, "I am constantly grateful that I get to do the work that I love almost every day," close quote. Ella, thanks for joining me today. Look forward to getting to know you a little better. I wish you all the success in the world with the new film. And it sounds like you're doing some pretty important work.
Many thanks. Yeah, it was great chatting with you.